Hey guys, it's Andrea.
And Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman. I'm just going to dive right into this case. Hopefully it's not a super long one, but I have like, I don't know, 8 pages of notes. double space, don't worry. But much like your case that we covered on Monday, this case hits a little close to home for me because as some of you may know, but most of you probably don't, I lived in Northern Virginia for over 10 years. And I actually remember this case in the news because it did happen in the next town over from where I lived at the time.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't I heard about it in passing, and then I didn't really like dive into it or like do a lot of research at that time.
Right.
But I am covering the missing persons case of Caitlin Akins.
I can't picture this. I don't know if I've heard it before, so I'm excited to get all the details.
You probably have if you've listened to all of the Crime Junkie episodes, because they actually did cover it. I don't know, like a couple years ago. That's where I heard like more of the details on it. And
right.
It's like one of those cases that keeps me up at night. Like honestly.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of cases that keep me up at night, but this one is definitely like top five that I need closure on.
Okay.
And it unfortunately is still an open case. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, honestly, even if I've heard it on Crime Junkie, I probably don't remember it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for a refresher and to hear all about it.
Yeah. Okay. So if you or someone you know has any details on what happened to Caitlin, please do not hesitate to call or contact the Spotsylvania Crime Solvers. Their number is 1-800-928-5822, or you can go to their website, SpotsylvaniaCrimeSolvers.org, and I'll make sure to link all of that in the show notes as well, so you can find that if you decide to.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. 19-year-old Caitlin Akins was from Fredericksburg, Virginia, which I used to live there. And she had recently been living in Arizona with her fiance. Caitlin was set to start cosmetology school, which she was super excited about. And she had flown home to visit family and also grab her birth certificate and her diploma while she was there, which she needed to start school. While she was there, of course, she visited with her mom, her sister, and her sister's new baby, and her stepdad, who was no longer married to her mom, but they were still really close, and he was the only real father figure that Caitlin had had in her life. Caitlin had moved to Arizona to be with her girlfriend, now fiance, Amber, and the two of them actually grew up together in Virginia, and then Amber had moved to Arizona, and the two of them kept in touch over the years, and their friendship blossomed into something more.
Aww.
Yeah. So when Caitlin was 18, she decided to take their relationship to the next level, and she began dating Amber, eventually moving to Arizona to be with her, which like, wow, good for her, I guess, because that's a long move.
Yeah, that's a big move.
Yeah, that's a huge move, especially at 18. Like, whew.
Right. That's not just like moving in with someone. That's like you're committed if you're moving across the country.
Exactly. So Caitlin had a wonderful relationship with her mom and her sister. They were all very close. Caitlin's mom recounts how Caitlin would often call her several times a day just to chat, which is like funny because that's how my mom is with me. But like, I don't like to talk on the phone. So like, can we just text?
I feel that.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I called my mom at least once a day and I was always talking to her. But now, yeah. Like, we almost never talk on the phone and just text because, like, I live so close. But it's, like, weird because I still don't see her every day.
Exactly.
I love when people have good relationships with their parents.
Yeah, so do I. So being back in Virginia meant a lot to Caitlin because she was able to spend time with her family and catch up with some of her local friends that she hadn't seen in a while. And she actually had decided to hang out with some of those friends her last night in Virginia before she flew back home to Arizona, or rather her new home in Arizona. So on the morning of December 5th, 2015, Caitlin's mom, Lisa, dropped Caitlin off at her stepfather's house because she unfortunately had to work that day and was unable to take Caitlin to the airport to catch her flight. Reports say that her flight was around 5:30, and I guess her mom was, working and couldn't drop her off like earlier, because, you know, like 2 hours before or whatever. Caitlin's stepfather, James Branton, also had work that day, but he worked later in the day, like closer to the afternoon when Caitlin's flight time was. So it just made the most sense for him to drop Caitlin off at the airport. James had been in Caitlin's life since she was 7 years old. And like I mentioned before, he was the only real father figure she had had in her life. Her biological father had walked out on their family when she was a baby. And despite the fact that he was like no longer married to her mom, Lisa, like they all still had a pretty good relationship with one another. Lisa claims James was happy to see Caitlin, and the two of them began to excitedly talk about Caitlin's plans for school as Lisa left to go to work. Later that day, Amber, Caitlin's fiance, got a strange text from Caitlin. It stated that something had come up and she wouldn't be able to fly home that day, and that she would be able to respond, or that she wouldn't be able to respond for a little bit.
That's weird.
Yeah. Very, like, what is the word? Cryptive? Encryptive? Encryptive?
Cryptic.
Cryptic. That's the word.
Yeah.
Amber was alarmed, but she assumed that Caitlin had more than likely just missed her flight. I didn't really gather that that was like her personality or not, but maybe she was kind of known to be late and things like that.
Right. Yeah. Definitely weird. The like, I won't be able to respond. That's like,
why?
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That would be alarming to me too.
Yeah.
So later that day, Lisa and James had also swapped texts about how the airport drop-off went, and Lisa asked about how traffic was, because if you do not know, Northern Virginia has the worst traffic in the whole entire... I've driven in, like, New York and Florida. Like, Northern Virginia has the shittiest traffic. Like, it's terrible. Like, if you need to go somewhere that's 30 miles away, you might as well leave 2 hours before you need to be there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's about how, like, LA is.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's probably similar to LA, except for LA has like 6 lanes of traffic and Virginia has like 4.
Right.
So
right.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. So bad traffic.
Yeah. Really bad traffic. And he stated that it was fine and that he had dropped her off successfully. So in Lisa's eyes, all was well. No reason to worry. Everything sounded like it was going as planned. However, a short while later, Lisa had received a text message from Caitlin stating that she was at the airport, but her phone was about to die. She had never mentioned she wasn't flying home that day like she had to Amber, so Lisa had no idea about the exchange between the two of them.
Okay.
But, you know, being a mom, she was concerned, and she really began to grow concerned when she hadn't heard from Caitlin for a while, knowing that her phone was supposedly dying. So she decided to reach out to Amber herself to see if she had heard from Caitlin.
Okay. So she's like kind of doing her due diligence, trying to figure out what's going on.
Right. So Amber told her what Caitlin had said, but Lisa was confused because Caitlin had literally just told her that she was at the airport.
Right.
So Lisa immediately felt in her gut that something was not right.
Oh, no.
So soon after, Lisa actually received 2 like really uncharacteristic texts from Caitlin. Amber and Lisa both said that when Caitlin would text them, she would like use a lot of emojis and like she was very use like exclamation points, which I am guilty of. I feel like you know how people text, like you know your friends, you know how they text.
Oh yeah, 100%. And you can tell when like they're off and
something's
not texting
right.
Like normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the text messages said, I'm staying with a friend. And the other one said, I need some time. So that's again, weird. Alarming. Yeah. Lisa tried to call Caitlin after that, but her phone was already off. And I cannot imagine the panic that Lisa must have been feeling at that time. Like, you know, her daughter is leaving all these weird text messages. Like nothing is adding up to like her personality. And she's being very vague and not giving anyone any idea, like any details as to what's going on with her. And like I mentioned, she was really close with her mom. And like normally she would be very forthcoming with like something not being right and her not feeling well or, you know, something, you know, being off. So this was all like really, really like uncharacteristic for Caitlin. So earlier that day, you know, she dropped Caitlin off. Everything seemed fine. Like Caitlin was her normal self. And now all of this like craziness is transpiring and she can't get in touch with her daughter. So Lisa decided that all of this was suspicious. So she was going to reach back out to James, her, you know, stepfather. And he confesses that he actually dropped Caitlin off at the Springfield Mall, which is in Springfield, Virginia, which is still, I want to say it's still about 30 miles from the airport.
Okay.
But that he had given her $20 and that she planned to take the metro to the airport, which Lisa said right away, this was not right because Caitlin had never taken the metro. She would not have the first clue on what to do. How to, and if you've never ridden a metro before, like it is very like confusing. There's colors and, you know, different routes and different metros you have to get on. And it's just a lot, especially for
and when you're,
time.
Yeah. And when you're like, if you're trying to get to the airport, like that's already like a little bit stressful. I would never expect somebody to be like, yeah, I'm going to ride the metro for the first time when I'm trying to go to the airport. Like, no.
Exactly. So, you know, Lisa, knowing her daughter, she was like, this is not right. Like, she was furious with James, and she couldn't for the life of her understand why he would allow her to do that, knowing she needed to catch a flight and couldn't risk being late or getting lost on the metro. But he seemed to have, you know, faith in her and that she could do it and claim that's what he did.
All right.
So while all of this was transpiring between Lisa and James, Amber, the fiance, had also began receiving Facebook messages from Caitlin. So, you know, according to Lisa, her phone's off. She can't get in touch with Caitlin. But now Caitlin is Facebook messaging Amber, which is you know, strange.
That's weird. Yeah.
So the message stated that Caitlin had cheated on Amber and that she couldn't come home.
Okay.
So much like Lisa, Amber thought that the way the messages were written didn't sound like Caitlin. Plus, she knew Caitlin very well, like they had been childhood friends. Amber knew that if this was true, that Caitlin would have called her and they would have discussed it over the phone because that's just the type of relationship that they had. They were very open and honest and upfront with each other, that Caitlin wouldn't have just like bailed.
Right. Like, you know, somebody, especially somebody you've been with that long and like are that close with. You like, they're not just going to bail.
Right. And they had been friends for so much, you know, so many years prior to their relationship. Like, you know them. Like, you know that they're not going to just like avoid the situation and like freak out and leave. Like,
especially because, I mean, maybe if she hadn't like talked to her at all that day, but she literally was like, I'm coming home. Like,
right.
Yeah. No, that's weird.
Now, it did come out later that the friends that Caitlin had hung out with her last night in Virginia had gotten drunk with Caitlin, and evidently they did have a threesome. So technically, I guess, you know, according to their details of that night, you know, Caitlin did cheat on Amber. But even still, Amber knows that Caitlin would have, like, called her and told her that she wouldn't have just been like, I'm going to not catch my flight.
Yeah.
So 2 hours after, you know, Lisa realized that Caitlin was missing, she called the police to file a missing persons report. But unfortunately, they told her that it was too early to file, you know, because she's an adult and blah, 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 blah.
Fucking typical. Oh, yeah. My God. If a mom is saying her child is missing,
listen to her.
Exactly. I literally put, here we go with this shit again.
Right. So... it's like, that makes me so mad. I mean, I get like maybe once in a blue moon, the mom is like crazy and trying to find the daughter, but like right. at least look into it.
Yeah, I agree. And especially because like, you know, her sister even said like, this is, you know, all these people, Amber, Lisa, yeah. her sister, they're all saying like, this is out of character for her. If that many people are coming forward and saying that, like, at least just file the report. Like,
yeah.
maybe don't exhaust every single last stitch effort that you have, but at least have like one person out there like investigating, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So finally, after 2 days of Caitlin being missing, Lisa was allowed to file the missing persons report. And really? Yeah, exactly. 2 days, you know. Everyone says the first 48 hours are the most important, but when you're not allowed to file for the after, you know, until yeah. after 48 hours, like, so frustrating. Kind of
counterintuitive, yeah.
Exactly. And while Lisa was at the police department, the police received a call that a sanitation worker had recovered Caitlin's luggage in a drainage ditch on the side of the road on River Road, which I literally used to live 5 minutes from.
Oh my yeah, God.
Exactly. So that's kind of crazy. When I read that, I was like, what? I used to live like right up the road from that. And it appeared to the police that the suitcase had been thrown from a moving vehicle. It was beat up pretty bad, and one of the wheels was missing.
So, like, clearly something happened.
Yeah, something went awry. Like, we don't know what or why, but something is, yeah, that's not right. good. That's not a good sign. So, upon further inspection of the contents of the suitcase, they realized that Caitlin's clothes, her phone, and her high school diploma were missing from her belongings.
Okay, yeah, that's not.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is very weird. So this location was over 50 miles from where Caitlin was supposed to be the day she went missing.
So her suitcase is ditched 50 miles. She didn't have a car. She didn't have... Yeah, no. And even if she was going to just go, if she was going to ghost her fiance and like because she felt bad about cheating...
Take your suitcase.
Yeah, you wouldn't just ditch all of your stuff and it be like beat up and that far away from where you are. Like, no, that's
exactly. That's not, and not the metro doesn't run that far. So even if she was like, I'm going to the airport and then last minute decided to like go back to Fredericksburg, right. like the metro, especially at that time, did not run that far. Like, you couldn't.
So, like, yeah, there's no way she could have gotten there.
Exactly. Okay. Unless someone drove her or she never got there to begin with.
Right.
So this location, however, was right up the way from where James lived.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
So James has been sticking to his story that he dropped off Caitlin at the mall. And then he went to work, but police would later find out that James never went to work that day. In fact, according to his phone records, he never even left the house that day.
Yeah, not suspicious at all.
Exactly. So why lie? Like, why do you need to lie? By all accounts, James loved Caitlin like his own child. They weren't having any issues. And the day that Lisa dropped Caitlin off, James and Caitlin both were seemingly happy and excited to see one another.
Okay.
So like I just mentioned, police did end up subpoenaing James's phone records. And they discovered that his phone pinged at home for all of the text messages between him and Lisa.
Okay, though, so he was clearly at home.
Yeah. Though he claimed he was 30 plus miles away dropping Caitlin off at the mall or at the airport, like Lisa had originally assumed.
Right.
They also obtained Caitlin's phone records, and her phone pinged near James's house and also about 15 miles from where her luggage was found in Fredericksburg. Never, ever at all in Springfield or near the airport in DC. That's not looking good, James.
No.
Of course, naturally, the police began to question James, and he claimed still he dropped Caitlin off at the mall. By the JCPenney, He gave her $20 to take the metro, and then he left for work. So the cops then asked James, "So you're telling us if we pull the surveillance footage from the mall and the JCPenney's, we'll see you in your car dropping Caitlin off at the location?" And James replied, "Yes."
Confident.
Yeah. So the cops did just that.
Called his bluff.
Yep. No sign of either of them. So not only did they pull the footage at the entrance of the JCPenney, they pulled all of the footage around the mall. And it's a pretty big mall. And there's a lot of traffic in that area. So they pulled, like, you know, parking lot footage, footage, all the entrances, you know, all of the things.
So, like, they did their due diligence to make sure that, like, there's no way he could be like, "Oh, well, I was on the other side," or something like that.
Right. Or, "Oh, I thought I was at JCPenney's, but I was at Macy's or Nordstrom," or whatever. Exactly. So he's claiming that they're there, and there was absolutely no sign of James, his car, or Caitlin. So the police brought James back in, told them what they had discovered, and James went silent. He stopped cooperating. He refused to answer any more questions. So unfortunately, you know, they had to let him go because they didn't have any evidence. They had nothing. Initially, he did offer to take a polygraph, but then later backed out, which, like we all know, like, polygraphs are not the most reliable, you know, evidence source, but sometimes they can be telling, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
The police also got search warrants of, like, for James's house and his car, and they found no damnatory evidence, which is crazy. Like,
yeah.
And there was a property that James owned where his mother resided, but at that time, and I think even still to this day, they have been unable to search.
Just because they don't have any, like, reason to?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, to me, if they think he's a suspect, and he kind of, like, the case of Kristen Smart.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was his parents' property, whatever. Like, he owns this property. So therefore, like, that's enough cause, in my opinion.
I agree. But
yeah. But they found no DNA at all whatsoever of Caitlin's in his vehicle, which means she was never in the car at all, like he claimed.
Okay.
Of course, her DNA was in his home, but it wasn't anything, like, crucial. There was no blood DNA or anything like that.
Right. Nothing damning or, like, out of the, like, ordinary.
Exactly. So another odd detail that we learn about James is that not only did he never go back to his job that day, he never went back to his job for 6 months. He was jobless for 6 months. Yes. Which, like, what?
But not because he got fired.
I think so. There's, like, differing information. Like, some people say that he got fired because he didn't go to work that day. Like, no call, no show. Boom, you're fired. Okay. And then other people claim that, like, he didn't go back to work because people at his job, like, knew what he did and, like, were giving him, like, crap about it, or, like, say, you know, whispering and stuff. But, like, how would he even know that if he never even went back? But either way, it's super suspect.
Yeah, that's sketchy. Like, you need a job to make money to live. So, like, why would you just randomly not go back?
Exactly. So right around the same time, I think it was, like, a couple of months later, after Caitlin went missing, a body of a young woman was found in Spotsylvania. And, of course, rumors began to fly that it was Caitlin. But come to find out, it was actually the body of Heather Ciccone. And I remember this vividly, too, because, again, not only did it happen, like, in the neighboring town, but people that I actually personally knew her.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, people on Facebook, they were, like, shocked and devastated because she had actually been shot in the head in her car, in her driveway, and left for dead.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Luckily, her perpetrator was captured and convicted of her murder, so it was pretty open and shut. But there was, like, actually rumors at that time before he was arrested that, like, there could be a serial killer, like, all this crazy stuff. Because, you know, Caitlin had just went missing, and then this woman was murdered.
Yeah.
So according to the Facebook group that Caitlin's mother, Lisa, started, which is Help Find Caitlin Akins, Caitlin was a white female. She had blonde hair and blue eyes. She was about 5'4 and 145 pounds. She had piercings in both her ears, her left nostril, her right lower lip, and her tongue. She had two tattoos. One was on her right foot that was a cluster of stars, and one was on the inside of her forearm that was a cluster of butterflies. And she also occasionally wears prescription glasses.
Okay.
The most recent news I could find on the case was that Lisa took a tactic straight out of the movie Three Billboards, which this is the second time that I've heard this movie referenced in a case, and I really want to watch it because it sounds like a very good fucking movie.
Is it the Three Billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri? Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I want to watch that too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to find it and watch it this weekend.
Okay.
But basically, like, a child goes missing. The mom, like, does everything because, like, police are not, like, willing to help, you know?
Right,
because I guess it's an older child, teenage adult child, whatever. So she, like, blatantly just puts all these billboards up, like, police don't care, police are not helping, right. Blah, blah, blah. So she took the tactic straight out of the movie, Three Billboards, and worked with the Aware Foundation and placed a billboard on James's route to work. I guess he got a new job that has Caitlin's face pictured on it and has, like, all her, you know, identifying, you know,
right,
markings and, you know, when she was last seen and all that. And Lisa did this in hopes to either guilt or embarrass James into cooperating with police to figure out what happened to Caitlin for once and for all.
Yeah.
Lisa said that even if they find her body at this point, it will offer her a small amount of comfort.
Oh.
And she said, quote, "At least I know she's dead. I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore." Oh, it's going to make me cry.
Yeah.
Where is she? Not knowing is the worst.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
Yeah. I know. That you would rather your child be dead just to know where they are.
Yeah.
So investigators are still supposedly working diligently on Caitlin's case, but there have been no new leads at all whatsoever.
It's like, I feel like it's so, I mean, I don't know, but I feel like when you, it's unsolved, but you know who did it, it's almost worse because it's like so frustrating that they can't get caught.
Yeah. Like,
especially, like, if they're right there in front of you, but, and you know.
How is there no evidence? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it makes me have, like, a small amount of, not denial, but, like, you know, questioning that, like, is he responsible? Like,
right.
Did he do anything? Because, like, I don't know. It doesn't add up.
How can they not prove, like, where the Facebook messages came from? Like, I wonder if they could prove, like, an IP address or something like that.
They definitely should be able to do that. But would they have to have her device to be able to do that, or no? Could they just...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. So before I close, I did want to go over some of the theories that people have concluded as to what happened to Caitlin.
Yeah.
I kind of went down this, like, rabbit hole on Reddit, which, like, RIP Reddit's, like, too crazy. There's some interesting things on there, but it can get really crazy really fast.
Yeah.
So some sources believe that Caitlin wanted to start a new life and that her stepfather actually assisted her in doing so.
Okay.
So since her money, her clothes, her birth certificate, her diploma were missing, those are all things that she would technically need to start over. Right. A new life. But at the same time, like, why would James not just tell her mother that and, like, give her peace if that was the case, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I could see that because, like, they haven't found a body. They haven't found any DNA linking to something, you know, malicious happening to her. So it's like, maybe she did start over, but, like, why not just come forward? Like, you'd rather risk your whole reputation.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that being something that happened, but also the fact that it was so, like, the only thing that I would think that would lead to her wanting to do that is that she cheated on Amber, right, and, like, felt so bad and was just like, okay, I want to start over. But then you literally the next day have it all figured out. Like, that doesn't sound right to me.
No, it doesn't add up. And based on her personality, like, she you know, she needs her family. She needs her friends. Yeah. She needs her loved ones. So
you don't just like disappear, especially like having that close of a relationship, like regardless of your fiance, like with your family, like you don't just have a good relationship with your family and then be like, okay, I'm going to start over because this terrible thing happened and I'm never going to talk to my family again. Like something pretty damn terrible would have to happen for you to want to do that. And I do not think that cheating on your fiance would lead to that.
Yeah, that doesn't warrant such an extreme response.
No, not at all.
So another theory, and there's literally zero proof to this, but this is just another theory that's out there, is that James tried to make a sexual advance towards Caitlin and she declined, and that in the heat of the moment he accidentally killed her. But like where though? Like where would he have killed her if there was no blood evidence? Like unless he's a, you know, CSI investigator, like how would he be able to cover up something so profound, you know?
How closely did they search his house? Like, did they do...
They got a warrant and did a thorough search of his property and his vehicle. Yeah.
They would have found something if there was something, like, especially something that brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And they did, I mean, they did found, like, find DNA, like, hair, I guess, or, like, you know, clothing particles or whatever. But, like, you know, like you said, there was nothing... leading them to think that there was something brutal that took place there, like no blood, no, you know, brain matter or whatever. Right.
So yeah, I don't think that it would be like a spur of the moment, you know, killing and then have like absolutely zero evidence. Even if he cleaned up, like there's going to be something.
Yeah. So while I 100% James knows exactly where Caitlin is and what happened to her, I'm not entirely convinced that something malicious happened. Because, like, you have to be incredibly smart and know what you're doing to clean up a crime scene, period.
Yeah, that's... Unless he killed her, like...
Somewhere else,
like in a field or something like that.
Yeah. But then, like, I don't know. I just feel like... I mean, I don't know if they ever did, like, you know, searches of, like, the area around these places. I mean, I don't think that they did based on the research that I did.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even – so I'm thinking, like, that area, right? There are, like, farmland. There is – but a lot of that stuff is, like, private property. So you would have to, like, know somebody to be able to, like, just leave. Because if he left her body, left the clothes that he was wearing there – somebody would stumble across it eventually. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I just find it like really hard. There's not more evidence pointing towards him being to blame.
Right. But there's also not evidence pointing towards anybody else.
Exactly. Being involved. So he's like the key person right now.
Right. So he's clearly involved, whether or not she was murdered or something else happened.
Exactly.
But now I understand why her mom is like, I just want to know
anything. Just anything. Yeah.
Because when
she's alive or dead.
Yeah. When you first said that, I was like, well, isn't it like pretty much understood that she's dead? But now I'm like, wait, maybe she's not. I mean, that lack of evidence, just I can't wrap my head around that, because it's. Like you said, it takes a lot to cover up something like that, to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, killing somebody isn't clean.
No. And there was no sign of struggle or anything. Like,
right. And even if, like, he poisoned her or did something where there was no blood, like, there's still a body and all her stuff that was missing. Like,
and then you would think there would be evidence linking, like a cup with poison or like, you know, something, just something, but there's nothing. And that is why this case like keeps me up at night. So that, as of right now, like I said, it's still an open case. There's not really any new developing information, but that is the mysterious missing persons case of Caitlin Akins.
And sorry, when did you say this happened?
In 2015. So December.
Oh, not that long ago.
Yeah. So it's been like almost 6 years that she went missing. December 5th, 2015.
So like it's not like it was years and years and years ago. Like, it's definitely still possible that something can be found. If she was murdered, her body is somewhere.
Yeah, like, it is. Yeah.
And I mean, yes, there's ways to get rid of a body where it's like completely gone. But yeah. Then there's other evidence. Like,
he would go to the store to buy the bucket and the lye and the yeah. gloves and the whatever
you do. Exactly. So like
someone disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, her body is somewhere. And wow.
I hope she's just somewhere. I hope that she just decided to like start a new life. And
yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, what happened. I don't know. Maybe that situation with those people, like maybe it was deeper and darker than just a threesome, you know, like maybe yeah. she just felt like she couldn't live with people knowing what happened to her and just thought it would be better if she just disappeared. I don't know.
I mean, maybe, and maybe she, I mean, maybe she was thinking about it beforehand and
I thought had that issues. Too.
Like maybe she, as much as she did love Amber, maybe she didn't see herself being with her, or just even like something else was going like through some sort of internal crisis, and she was embarrassed and didn't want to just move on.
Yeah. What if she came home to say goodbye? Like, what if that was the reason she really came home? I know, I've thought all kinds of crazy stuff. And like,
I mean, I could see that being true. And she didn't want to tell, like, she didn't want anything to seem off beforehand. So she, you know, nothing changed. How close was she with James?
They were pretty close. I don't think they talked every day like she did with her mom, but he was definitely a important person in her life, and he was like a father figure to her for sure.
So she could have asked him for his help, and since he's not her biological father, like maybe she thought that he would help her without saying anything to anybody. And
yeah,
so you know, maybe she did ask him to help her, and maybe it was planned more than, you know, just the night before. Maybe it wasn't just the threesome, it was other stuff.
Yeah.
And it had been planned. And
that's what I mean, that even though that sounds crazy, like that's what I'm leaning more towards, because I just find it so hard to believe. I mean, definitely people go missing and you know, are never seen or heard from again, and then, you know, 25 years down the road they find a body or find a blood stained, you know, shirt or whatever, and then it comes to find out yes, they were murdered, unfortunately. But like, I don't know. There's just something about this case that makes me think that she's still alive. I don't know why, but
yeah,
it keeps me up at night.
Yeah,
well, it really does.
It's weird too that the suitcase was discarded, but other stuff wasn't there.
Certain like, important things. Yeah.
Like if he killed her and just discarded the suitcase, like, why would all of her stuff not be in there? I mean, yeah. Maybe he was smart enough to like take things, but like the birth certificate, like,
and why would you be stupid enough to do it right up the road from your house?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's the thing that got me too. I was just like, I mean, I don't know. I guess he worked for like some government job. I get the one that I guess he like never went back to. Like,
right.
You know, he seems like a smart guy. So like, why would you do that if you knew that like it could lead back to you being yeah. a suspect?
But maybe he cared about her enough. And although it hurt his reputation, he's clearly doing okay, because there's no evidence against him and he's not in jail and he has a new job and whatever. And yeah. he just was willing to take that hit for her.
Yeah. And I tried to think of it like that. Like, as a parent, if my son came to me and was like, I need to disappear. Like, I need to, like, you're damn right. I would do everything in my power to keep yeah. him safe and, you know, whatever it took. Like,
yeah, that's true.
So
even
know,
for your own reputation.
Yeah. But I just feel like he would at least tell her mother, like, and give her that peace. Like, why, you know, maybe she, I don't know, maybe she doesn't have that ability to keep it in like he yeah. does. I don't know.
And maybe that was Caitlin's wish and just said, please don't tell her, because that'll hurt her more knowing that I'm out there and don't want to see her.
Yeah. I hope she finds peace. And definitely, if you want to know more, like, occurring details, like recent things, like follow the Facebook group, the Help Find Caitlin Akins. Her mother runs it and she posts stuff all the time.
I'm gonna go follow that.
New things. And I will be posting, you know, pictures and, you know, whatever I can find on the case on our Instagram at @inhuman_podcast. And
on Twitter.
And on Twitter. I need to do that. I'm like, Twitter, ugh, I hate Twitter, but I need to download it so I can, like, keep up with what's going on our Twitter.
I know. I know nothing about Twitter. I've never had Twitter myself. Like, I had it once and I followed, like, a couple random celebrities, but I never posted anything. And then I literally one day, we had talked about starting a Twitter for the podcast, but one day, I think it was when the Miami building collapsed, I was trying to get, like, updated news. And I found like an article that led to a tweet, but then it wouldn't let me see it without signing in. And I couldn't remember my old password. So I just created an account for our podcast. So now like I follow a couple of other podcasters and I think we have like 6 followers. Like I don't post on there a ton, but I want to start trying to post like about our cases and stuff on there. Just because I feel like Twitter, like it's so
in the moment.
And I feel like there's a lot more people that look on like or will see stuff on Twitter than on like Instagram unless they're like specifically looking. So I'm trying. So if you are on Twitter, go follow us there because we will we'll post photos and we'll probably follow you back because I pretty much follow everybody that follows the 6 people that follow us. So
it's @inhuman_podcast on Twitter as well.
Yes. I did post a funny tweet the other day. I got into Robert's car. He like picked me up after work after he got home from work because I had to we had to go run an errand. And he was listening to a podcast that was like a like how to better your life type of podcast. So I posted on Twitter like my fiance listens to this during his long commute and me just like true crime. That's all I listen to.
Murder.
I thought I was funny, but maybe I'm not. But
no,
on Twitter.
I liked your slaying and slaying one, the Christmas and
was good, right? I think I saw like that. I didn't come up with that. I saw it somewhere, but
okay, it's still funny.
Yeah.
Retweet. Yeah. So yeah, follow us on Instagram and follow us on Twitter. You can send us an email for case suggestions at inhumanmonsterpod@gmail.com
or thoughts on this case. Like I would love to like talk more about this case and like thoughts on it because
you're invested now, right?
I am. Like as you were talking about it, I remembered like certain things about it, but I did not remember that it was, I thought it was just that he killed her and there was no proof, but now I'm not so sure. Like now I'm like, maybe he didn't, or if he did, how the hell was there no evidence? Like this is just blowing my mind right now. So yeah, if you guys have like, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it either on Instagram or in like, send us an email because I need to know other people's thoughts.
Yes. Yes. And follow us on TikTok @inhumanpodcast because we post little snippets of the stories that we're covering each week. We get like 3 minutes at the most and then we try to like squeeze it into 60 seconds. That was really hard for me last night. I was like,
I know. I don't know how many times I redid the Kristen Smart one to try to fit it into 60 seconds.
It's so hard. All right. So thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed and we will see you next week. And until then, keep it human.
Bye.
Bye.